Now, for all of you who are in church, when the bell tolls, I have a special treat for you in honor of St. Patrick's Day. Are you ready for this? I debated on preaching on this text or not. May you be in heaven a full half hour before the devil knows you're dead. Okay. Robert, that's for you, sir. Actually, today we're going to be talking about canoes and kayaks and lakes and rapids and how our faith is either passive or active. We need to follow God's will in all of it. So stay tuned for the sermon, and we'll tie all that together. Shall we stand and begin our worship with our first hymn?
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, will forgive our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
I invite you to kneel as you're able, or remain standing. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please stand.
Let us pray to the Lord.
unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. You seem to work in insufficient ways, Lord. A whole missionary journey sidetracked so one woman far from her hometown could come to know Jesus. You prepared the way for Paul's word. You sent your spirit into Lydia's heart. You alone deserve the praise for Lydia's saving faith. Open my heart too, Lord. Cause me to pay attention to your word. Then make my response, like Lydia's, overflow into all areas of my life. And to you alone be the glory. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. My name is Sue Hensley. And our first reading is from Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the work of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Acts 16, 6 to 10, and 13 to 15. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, have being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they came to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated.
Many years ago, took the family on a vacation into Canada. We loaded up our full-size van and piled stuff on top of it and pulled a pop-up trailer behind it. And then up in northern Minnesota, we stopped and rented a couple of canoes and put those on top of the pop-up trailer. We were loaded. And we went up to place called Quetico, which is just north of the Boundary Waters. And it's one of these places that motors aren't allowed, and the water is just so pristine, and they do everything they can to keep it without any interference from man. Well, we set up the camper. Somehow clothes got stuck in the crank. Well, that's another story for another day. But when we went out on the water with these two canoes that we rented, two metal canoes, one of them worked fine. And my wife and daughter and eldest son were in that. Of course, my middle child and I were in the other canoe, which leaked terribly. It just, the water just poured in through the bottom seam. There was nothing you could do except every few hundred yards you'd stop on an island and you pull that canoe back up off the lake and empty it out and put it back in and start over it again. It's not like you can call 108, you know, canoe, come rescue me or something, swap out the canoe when you're in the wilderness like that. Well, that's one way to go canoeing. Little bit of water coming in, no big problem. The other way is you get yourself a kayak and you go down the Colorado River through all the white water rushing behind you. But both ways of being on the water, you're pretty much at the mercy of wherever the water will take you. You got a leaky canoe, you can keep paddling all you want, but eventually it's going to sink. You're on the rapids, you're going to go where that water's pushing you. You can have all the plans you want, but you're just at the mercy of the water. In the reading from the book of Acts today, Paul had all sorts of plans, things he wanted to do. He wanted to go to this Roman province in Asia, of Asia. It was called Phrygia. He wanted to go there, but the Spirit of the Lord just would not let him go. So then he wanted to go to a place called Bithynia. But the same thing happened. God's Spirit said, nope, Paul, you're not going to go there. We got other plans for you. So in the end, he ends up in a town called Philippi. And you know, Paul's this great missionary, and he's visited lots of towns before, and he's got kind of a pattern worked out. When he gets into a new town, he always goes to the synagogue. He's going to start his preaching and teaching there because he's going to get a receptive audience, people that know the scriptures, the Old Testament. But the problem in Philippi is that there's no synagogue. You know, we can have all the plans we want, but in the end, God has plans for us. What happens in Philippi is kind of interesting. Since there's no synagogue, he's just walking along the river. And he comes across this women's prayer meeting. There's a lady there named Lydia, who we're going to hear about some more in a little bit. But it's just like it didn't belong there. And this was not the way that Paul, and he's traveling with Silas, this isn't the way things have been going. He hadn't done this before. Kind of like, you know, I was thinking being in that canoe. And you have all these plans to be on this beautiful lake, but the crazy canoe's leaking. Or you're on the kayak going down the Colorado River. You want to head over this way, but the water pulls you that way. Kind of what's happening to Paul here. In Acts chapter 16, it says, on the Sabbath day, we went outside, that's Paul and Silas, to the riverside. We came to this place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women who were together. One who heard us was named Lydia. She sold purple goods. She was a worshiper of God. And the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what we were saying. Paul and Silas, big time evangelists. They travel all the way to Philippi. They find this prayer group meeting. They teach the group. And only one person is converted. Only one. Now, granted, later on, Lydia's going to have her whole family baptized, but she's the only one that seems to be responsive to this great apostle Paul. How does this all work with faith? Where does faith come from anyway? Paul wrote the Ephesians. He said, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith." This grace that God just pours out on us. And this faith isn't even from you. He says it's a gift from God. You haven't worked for the faith. It's just a gift. So here they are in this prayer group along the river where they didn't expect to be. And Lydia gets the gift of faith. God is in control of your whole faith journey. You aren't in charge of it at all. You're not in charge of your life. You're not in charge of your own salvation or your spiritual development. It's like Lydia, like Paul, you have been caught up in and swept away in the waters of your baptism. You are riding the back of a mighty current. Go back to that Colorado River, just rushing this river of God's grace, taking you exactly where God wants you to be. So how are you doing with your faith? Is your faith kind of passive? It's there. It's not very active. You've been baptized. You go to church. But that's pretty much it. Kind of like being up in that Quetico on those beautiful lakes, only you're in an inner tube. And you're just lazily floating along, getting a real good sunburn. Not a care in the world. Sounds so nice. But you can lazy river your faith to death. You can be in that canoe with that leak and just laying back and letting the water come in and get around your feet and your legs, cooling you off, enjoying it, but pretty soon that canoe is going to fill up with water and your faith just sinks away. On the other hand, your faith can be actively engaged. Paul talks a little bit more about this in the same chapter of the book of Acts. You see, after he met Lydia, things got pretty interesting. One day, he says, on our way to another place of prayer, maybe the synagogue. Well, they didn't have a synagogue. Maybe they're going back to the lake. But he says, this slave girl ran into us. She was a psychic. She was fortune-telling. And she made a lot of money for people who owned her. She started following Paul around, calling everyone's attention to us by yelling out, "These men are working for the Most High God. They're laying out the road of salvation for you." You see, she knew what they were doing, but the other people didn't know, so it's like she's fortune-telling and making money by telling people what they're going to be doing. It's like betting on the Cubs to win. It's always a sure bet, you know? So she did this for a number of days, until Paul is just fed up with her. And he turns around and he commands the spirit that possessed her, "Out in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of her." And it was gone just like that. But her owners saw that their lucrative little business was suddenly bankrupt. So they went after Paul and Silas. They rough them up. They drag them to the market square. Then they have the police arrest them. They pull them into court. They accuse them. "These men are disturbing the peace. They're dangerous Jewish agitators subverting our Roman law and order." The crowd turned into a restless mob out for their blood. The judges went along with the mob. They had Paul and Silas' clothes ripped off and ordered a public beating. And after beating them black and blue, they threw them into jail, telling the jailkeeper, "Put them under heavy guard. They cannot escape." He did just that. Threw them into the maximum security cell in the jail and clamped leg irons on them. Sometimes practicing your faith actively gets you in trouble. It's all they were doing. Just telling people about the road to salvation and locked up in maximum security. That's Paul. Lydia, when she receives God's word along the riverside there at that prayer meeting, she wants to be baptized. And she is. And then she brings Paul and Silas back to her home. And everybody there is baptized. And she tells Paul and Silas, who now have been joined by Timothy and Luke, you can come to my house anytime and stay. See what faith does? She says, my house will now become your base of operations for the church here in Philippi. That's active, engaged faith. Luther talked about faith. He says, you know, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. You see, that's that grace. It's a gift. Faith is a gift that comes to us. And Luther says, I can't do it on my own. But then Luther continues. He talks about what Jesus did to him so that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom. And I'm going to serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, blessedness. Luther imagines the whole Christian life to be full of active engagement. You are participating in God with your faith. Remember Paul saying, it's by grace that you have been saved through faith, and even you can't get any credit for it? Paul continues in the next verse. We are God's workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to be actively engaged. Which, by the way, God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. You see, God is in control. We are actively engaged. Can you have a life of active engagement with no passive faith? Well, that'd be like taking that kayak, just putting it out on our parking lot on top of the asphalt, or taking the rowboat that's filling up with water, that canoe, and you just are sitting in it on the parking lot, and you got the paddle or the oar, and you're trying to get somewhere, but there's nowhere. No way. You're not going anywhere at all. You're just paddling your faith to death. You're shipwrecked. On the other hand, faith that is passive and active is a faith that studies the scripture and then puts into practice what you have learned. Faith that is passive and active is inviting someone in your home, just like Lydia did, who wasn't connected with the church, to have a connection with Jesus Christ, to be baptized, to worship, to pray. A passive, active faith recognizes a person that's hurting. And instead of just saying, I'll pray for you, you stop right then and you actually do pray. Otherwise, you're just sitting in the parking lot, paddling away, going nowhere at all. When you are engaged in the process, you are in the kayak going down the Colorado River. You are paddling furiously. You are wet from head to toe. You're having the ride of your life because you are actively engaged in your faith. The story of Paul and Lydia makes it perfectly clear that we're on a great adventure. We can have all the plans that we want, but God is still in control. He knows what's better, best for us. It can be scary, but it's also a whole lot of fun. And God's river is taking you right where God wants you to go. He's in control. So, are you actively engaged? Because it's quite a ride. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you stand and join with me in speaking of our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead and descended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Friends, you may be seated as we go to our Lord in prayer. And please note the response for our each petition. As I say, O Lord, who gave your life, please respond, help us return your love with love. We pray. O Lord, like Lydia, we are called to welcome those who share the news of your salvation into our midst. Give us the courage to support the needs of those who preach and teach your word, even when it is not always something that the society around us values. Grant us the willingness to open our doors to your ambassadors and to listen well to what they have to share with us. O Lord, who gave your life,
help us return your love with love.
Lydia met with women of her community to meditate and study your word. Help us to gather together as often as we can in Bible classes, worship services, and in small groups to learn more about you and strengthen one another in our lives of faith. O Lord, who gave your life. Lydia was a successful businesswoman as well as a believer in Christ. Embolden us to bear your cross into our places of business and our work life, so that more may know that you are the supreme ruler of our lives, and that it is more important to store up treasures in heaven than to look for earthly wealth and prestige. Help us to be loving and forgiving to all we interact with in our jobs, reflecting your compassion toward us. O Lord, who gave your life. All those in Lydia's household came to believe in you and were baptized. Help us to be a positive spiritual influence on the faith lives of all those who dwell in our households and our neighborhoods. May our words and actions declare these most nearest and dearest to us that you are the ultimate source and strength of everything we say and do. O Lord, who gave your life,
help us return your love.
Be with all those who are suffering in any way of body, mind, and spirit, especially Dan, Vernette, Katie, Laverne, Linda, Gwyn, Vern, Wally, Blanche, Bob, Rosie, and Marcia. Restore health to them according to your will, and bless them with people like Lydia, who respond to your love by caring for them in their time of need. Help us to see ways in which we can serve those around us who are hurting. Especially do we remember Barb and Bruce Conrad, who mourn on the death of Barb's father, Ralph, and Phyllis and Gary Murphy on the death of their son, Nick. Enable us that we may be able to touch them with your peace, comfort, and hope. O Lord, who gave your life. Dear Jesus, support the work of missionaries around the world and expand their reach so that more and more people may come to know you as their Savior. Through your sacrificial death on the cross and your triumphant resurrection from the dead, may we never forget the importance of those who serve in often hostile environments and in distant places. May their work continue to be fruitful and make a difference in the lives of many. O Lord, who gave your life, help us. Father in heaven, we come to you today thanking you for all who celebrate in the coming week. We are glad that you have brought us together and allowed us to know each one. We ask for your blessing and a day filled with hope, joy, and optimism. We pray that this coming year might be one that will bring personal success and fulfillment an accomplishment for all. This morning we pray for Jolene, Dawson, Marie, Brandy, Jacob, Andrew, Bryce, Claire, Nathan, Willard, Tom, and Karen. Father, we know that you delight in blessing your children. O Lord, who gave your life, all these petitions we offer in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who did the will of God and lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
We'll continue our worship through the gathering of our offerings and our tithes for the mission and ministry of Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who in word and deed was obedient to your will, humbly offering himself as a sacrifice that we might be your sanctified people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. please stand? Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.